on the website, through the Church Center app as well, to go ahead and be ready for that that Bible study to start. Mom's Morning Out for this month is scheduled for Friday, August 8th, from 11 to 1, at the home of the Landis family here in Carlisle. If you guys need directions, or if you have any questions, or you're ready to sign up, you can reach out to Carrie Evans. We have another baptism service coming up, Sunday, August 17th. We just had our lake baptism day not too long ago in July, but we did miss a couple people that couldn't make it schedule-wise, so we do have another opportunity. If you guys are interested in being baptized, please reach out to Pastor Glenn. He's going to be meeting with people next Sunday about that. So it's two Sundays away, but he'll be meeting next Sunday if you guys are interested. So reach out to Pastor Glenn if you're interested in that. Hey, at this time, we have a short video, and there is an extended video of this on the church website on the expansion page, but just a building update real quick. So if you guys would please draw your attention to the screen.
This used to be Pastor Seth's room, and this is going to become, I'll walk behind here and show you, this is going to become the new cafe. So on Sunday mornings, you'll come and get coffee, water, and it'll also serve as a second kitchenette for small groups. So multiple small groups will be able to meet here and have options for kitchens. So that's this part of the project.
Go ahead. See where Pastor Glenn's office used to be. And this is now not a lot changing here.
But this will now become Pastor Seth's office. And the biggest change here is that this bathroom is getting large. We're enlarging this bathroom, and there'll be a door, and this will become the handicap / family bathroom, which I think we're in need for a while, so that's going to be pretty cool to see that happen.
And now we'll head back to the large part of the renovation, which is children's wing.
So this part of children's wing, once the plastic's all down, the hallway will all be open, and we'll have two doors that are securing the children's wing. And this little area over here is going to be a great area where parents will come check in, nursery, up to right before youth. All kids will be checked in and brought in through here. This room, which you won't be able to see much because of it being dark, is going to have four bays or four nursing areas for women. Because we had a nursing area, but just in the nursery. So this will be a separate nursing area.
We'll walk down this nice wide hall we got going.
And here's our nursery, which if you can probably can't tell, but it's probably double what we have now for our nursery. So this is pretty exciting to see this because we are in need of larger rooms.
And the next big room, which is probably one of the biggest areas we need for kids, is the toddler room.
It's a little dark in here, but you'll see the toddler room is probably about 50% bigger now. Actually, probably 100% bigger now than what it is currently. So this is also kind of a cool, exciting room as well.
And then over here is the pre-K room.
Pre-K room is the room right now, which is out front. So now it's going to come back here and be in a secure area. And this is probably about 50% bigger than it currently is right now.
And then children's ministry and Sunday school.
Right now, if you're not familiar, if you don't have kids, K through 5 meet, which is a big difference in age group. So we're going to be able to split that up. So this will be K through, I think, second. I'm not sure about that. And third through fifth. So these are nice big rooms as well. But some things to just kind of pray about. Pray that the billing team is thinking through and catching everything that we need to do while it's time to do it. Pray that the township keeps moving forward. And just be praying about the financial side of things. It's great to see how the church is responding, but it's a big project to be going through, so thank you.
You guys got to give Ben a big thank you for that. I know he was uncomfortable doing that. Hey, but you guys, you know, we try not to go back there too much on Sunday mornings just to keep the dust within there, but give you guys a little bit of a insight of what we got going on back there. It's exciting. It's going quick. And yeah, like you said, some great things to be praying for moving forward. Hey, at this time, would you all please stand with me as we prepare to worship God and prepare our hearts with a word of prayer? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning. God, I just pray for focused hearts. God, if there's things that are worrying us, concerning us, just things that we're in the middle of, God, would we just be able to leave them outside the door and just be fully focused on you this morning? God, as we prepare to sing songs together, would it just be a prayer and praise to you for all that you've done and all you continue to do? God, as we prepare for communion this morning, I pray that each one of us examines ourselves. Are we in a right standing with you? Have we come to you with our struggles, with the things that we've messed up on, God? And God, as we open up your word, will we be challenged? God, I just continue to pray that you're with us each step of the way with the expansion and the building project here, God. Would you be with all those different areas that Ben mentioned? The township process, the funding, the building team, God, would you just bless them and help them? God, we praise you and thank you for all that you do and all that you continue to do. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning, church. How are we today? My name is Chris Gregory. I get the pleasure of joining you guys for worship this morning. So I invite you, if you know this, sing it out.
And Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I'd fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as You choose. Here am I, all of me. Take my
worship team. Well, you guys may be seated as we take time to take some communion together this morning. In 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26, it's written this: "For I pass on to you what I have received from the Lord Himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then He broke it to pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's all take the bread together in remembrance of Jesus and what He's done. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." So as we take the cup together, let's just think of what Jesus has saved us from. Let's take and drink. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning. We're so blessed that you gave up your one and only Son. That he did something that he humanly didn't want to take on in the human flesh. The pain and the weight of all the sins of mankind on that cross. But God, he did it because it was your will. He did it so that we could be made right with you, God. He fulfilled the law. He didn't have to face it. He didn't deserve what he took on the cross, but God, we thank you that your Son did anyway. And we're thankful that we have this body of believers here today, that we can be unified together, that we know one another, we can build one another up towards you because of what you've done. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning. Oh, kids, you guys are dismissed. Head on back these main doors here. They'll meet you back there, and then you guys can head on out for kids' church there, community kids. Awesome. Well, today we're talking about go beyond. We're going to be in the passage Matthew 5, 38 through 42. And if you guys looked ahead, if you get the weekly email, which if you don't, you already know what I'm going to say. Reach out to the office, get in that. But if you looked ahead at this passage, you probably recognize it because it's that famous part that talks about, you know, if someone slaps your right cheek, turn and give them the other one, right? So today, you know, we're going to get this out of our minds before we get too far into the passage here. But for those, I mean, maybe all you know already, but there is a power slap league. And what they do is there's two people that stand side by side. And I don't even think you're allowed to flinch or anything because that's cheating, right? And you have to take the slap across the face. And they take turns going back and forth until one person says, you know, that's enough, I'm done. Or till they get knocked out. And there's crazy videos of that too. You know, there's like a table, I think, in between them. A lot of times you see, boom, boom. You know, they flop against the table and then onto the ground. Crazy, crazy sport. And today in our passage, you know, like I said, we're going to be talking about if someone slaps your right cheek, turn and give them the other cheek. Now, what I'm not doing today is proposing that we start a church power slap league, okay? We already got church softball, okay? We don't need another league right now. And I'm not saying that you guys need to go join the power slap league that they have going on here. But like I said, they're crazy videos. You know, you guys know what, like, we see AI and hear about AI a lot these days. You know, like, when AI was first generating photos and, like, the people just looked weird? You know, the faces were all lopsided. Some of these guys come out looking like that after these slap, after these power slap matches, right? Their face is all sorts of placed all over the place. But anyway, now that we got our slap out of our minds, let's go ahead and open up Matthew 5, 38 through 42 this morning and read it together. "You've heard the law that says the punishment must match the injury. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. If you are sued in court and your shirt is taken away from you, give your coat too. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for 1 mile, carry it 2 miles. And give to those who ask. Don't turn away from those who want to borrow. So we're going to be breaking down this passage verse by verse. Sometimes we are going to look at half the verse first, and then we will unpack the full thing. So here, we're going to look right here at the beginning. The punishment matches the injury, right? An eye for an eye. This was something that was in the Old Testament law for quite some time. You can see it in Exodus 21, 24, Leviticus 24, 20, Deuteronomy 19, 21. But I'll just kind of list off some of the examples it gives. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, fracture for fracture, life for life, right? So it gives all these different ideas of what's going on. And these passages, this law, per se, are not, they were given to be used within the confines of the judicial system, right? So like when there's a judge and a jury, they were given this, it was kind of twofold. One, so that the punishment of the person was not too lenient, so that someone didn't just get a slap on the wrist for murdering someone, right? But also the other half is so that it wasn't a punishment that was too harsh, right? So this is kind of what the context that this was given for. It was supposed to be a limiting thing for the judicial system. But Jesus is bringing it up here because that's not how people were using it at this time. People were using it for a means of personal vengeance, revenge, right? They were saying, you know, oh man, you know, I'm sorry that you slapped my cheek, but get on up here now, you know, like it's time, you know, that's how they were using it. They were using it in ways that, you know, man, I'm sorry you did that because now it's time for me to give it back. But that's not what the purpose was when that was given. And Jesus is addressing that throughout this passage here. He's going to be laying out the law's standard. He's going to unravel the misuse of the law. And he's going to really show the heart behind why the law was given and created. And then how we should then interact, right? So he's going to be breaking it down into four illustrations this morning. We saw it already, getting slapped, being sued for our belongings, being forced into labor, and people asking us for money or things, right? So let's continue on here in verse 39. The first part says, do not resist an evil person. You know, Jesus is not telling us to get physically beat up without moving or defending ourselves, right? I read a lot of different commentaries on this, and there were a couple different takes, so I'll share both those with you guys this morning. Some commentators believe that Jesus is saying not to resist an evil person means to not hold resentment against them. So yes, they've slapped our cheek, they've done us wrong, but we shouldn't be holding that resentment against them. We can still interact with people who have done us wrong, but that doesn't mean that we have to put ourselves in harm's way. That doesn't mean we don't have to use the wisdom that we have from being hurt before. Now, some other commentators say that the context of this is not resisting an evil person, referring to not resisting taking them to court, as it's talking about kind of like the judicial system aspect here, right? So don't take personal vengeance, you know, don't pay them back right there in the spot, but rather don't resist taking them to court. Now, we do know in Scripture, though, that there is some guidance given in 1 Corinthians to believers about suing and taking other believers to court, where it says, you know, don't take a brother to court, right? Their point in that passage is, you know, as believers, we're called to a standard that's not defined by the law, but that's even beyond the law, because we're just trying to live our lives for God. So what they're trying to make the point in 1 Corinthians is, if you're in a problem with another believer, you ought to be able to hopefully sort things out together. And if not, he kind of says, well, then you get some other believers kind of involved to help you guys sort things out. So this section is not contradictory with that, because this is speaking of dealing with, what does it say there? An evil person. Now, Some commentators have pointed out that this passage is not referring to an evil person as the devil or evil in abstract, right? So he's not saying, you know, don't resist the devil. He's saying don't resist another person, maybe an unbeliever that has done you wrong, that has offended you in some way. So Jesus is not saying that evil in itself cannot be resisted, or we shouldn't try to resist evil in itself, but he's speaking to how we should interact in the midst of personal offenses, right? So let's see the second part of verse 39 here. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek as well. Now this is the part you guys have all been waiting for. Yes, it's a female sport as well. Okay? So if someone slaps you on the cheek, offer the other one as well. In the context of this scripture, being slapped in the face was not just describing a physical offense and pain, but it also was associated with great disrespect and insult at the time. You know, have you guys ever been with someone, maybe some friends doing something, and, you know, they make a comment that just seems off the wall. And you kind of walk away from that situation, you're like, whoops. And you're like, man, that was just like a slap in the face, right? Maybe they didn't even slap you in the face, but what they said just kind of, man, that just caught me so off guard. It just felt like a slap in the face. Well, in ancient Jewish writings, there's talk about striking someone with the back of the hand was a severe insult, and it was actually punishable by a heavy fine. So what Jesus is saying here in the context of what they would have understood is that if someone is personally insulted, offended, attacked, or even physically slapped, the response should go against our human desire for immediate retaliation. Sorry, I clicked my button there. Immediate retaliation, but rather our response of sacrifice and love, offering the other cheek, facing the insults until justice comes from outside of ourselves, right? Jesus lived this out in his life. He was called many things, and I probably don't even have a full list of them, but he was called a drunk. He was called an illegitimate child, right? That's so many claims about Jesus. Well, you know, you weren't actually the Son of God, right? That's what the Pharisees were all coming after him. Yeah, you didn't actually do this. A blasphemer, they would call him, a glutton, a crazy guy, right? He's got everything from all angles coming after him, but in the midst of it, he's self-controlled. He doesn't give in to what they want. So many times they tried to trap him with giving him these rare scenarios that you would never be, and they're like, so what should we do in this situation, right? And he would always use God's word in context to battle what they were trying to twist and catch him in. It's interesting. So what do we do today when we're slapped or we're insulted? Men, if we're physically slapped, sometimes our first gut reaction is to defend our manly ego. You know, we want to go right back. You know, we want to fulfill that, you know, eye for an eye, let's get this thing done, right? Our instincts do. You know, what about insults, right? Oftentimes we try to strike back with words. We want to have the final word that makes them stop in their tracks and think as we have that power walk away. Or sometimes if we don't have that final word, we find ourselves stuck just dwelling on it afterwards, right? Man, I should have said this. That would have shown them, right? That's kind of what we think in our minds. Or maybe, man, if they ever talk to me again, this is what I'm going to have like preloaded in the back of my mind, right? We're just ready to get back. That's just our instincts, to get back at people for what they've done to us. We want to defend ourselves. And defending ourselves is good. But it's when we cross the line from defense to offense is where the problem comes, right? What Jesus is calling us to do is to put love first. Sacrifice ourselves in order to love the aggressor. James 1:19 says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. That's not an easy thing to do, right? Especially angry, right? Even if we can hold our tongue, man, it's hard to stop even internally just being like, having the water start boiling, right? But Jesus warns his disciples also that they'll be hated because of him. They will face persecution due to their connection with him. In Matthew 10, 22 through 23, it says this, "And all nations will hate you because you are my followers. But everyone who endures to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one town, flee to the next. I tell you the truth, the Son of Man will return before you have reached the towns of Israel." So this passage is applicable to us today. We're going to be hated for what we stand for with Jesus. Right now it's kind of cool because we see, like, I think there's like an undertone of some Christian movement coming back in the music industry and some other things as well. But man, I'll tell you what, working with youth all the time, it's a scary place in school to mention your faith. Because there's kids that'll, you know, we're not friends at all because you want to talk about that, right? It's a scary time for that. We know that, but Jesus warned us. He warned us as his followers, you know, you're not necessarily, you're not going to be loved because you follow me. But something we see in here, verse 23, says, when you're persecuted in one town, flee to the next. So again, Jesus is saying, not, you know, we don't have to stand there and be defenselessly beat up to a pulp, you know, if someone is slapping our one cheek, right? But he's encouraging them as well, you know, if you're facing persecution in one town, go ahead and go to the next. So maybe for us, if we have someone that we've been trying to share the gospel with and it's just been going really hard, you know, they've been personally attacking us, it might be time to try to focus some attention on some other people. But oftentimes, those things can come back around, right? I had a professor in college that he was having a real hard time. You know, this guy cut off all contact with him because he wanted to talk about God with him. And he had a strong stance against God. 30 years later, he gets a call from this guy. Didn't even recognize the number. And the guy was like, "I'm ready to talk about God." It was so powerful because he was like shocked. You know, how'd you even still have my number, right? And he was like, "Why did you call me?" You know, 30 years later, you think he crossed someone else that maybe he would go to. He was like, "It's because I know that you were ready and that you would be willing to talk about it with me when I was ready." So it was because he already had those conversations. So I don't want you guys to get the wrong impression to not have conversations about the gospel with people. I don't want you guys to give up too easily either. But if we're reaching a dead end sometimes it's good to continue to focus and move on until sometimes those opportunities come back to us. So the context here is that we're supposed to let justice be served outside of our personal vengeance. We must practice self-control, hold our tongues, trust the judicial system in the areas that are applicable, but ultimately trust God that he'll bring the ultimate justice. Sometimes we won't see what we think is justice in our lifetime, right? Sometimes we'll have things that happen where it's like, even if there was a court hearing, or maybe there wasn't, it's like we might sit there and be like, that did not fit the punishment. But we know that God is the ultimate source of all justice. And at the end of the day, he will sort things out. But we must go beyond the expectations, the instincts of the world, and follow Christ's example. So verse 40 here, we see this next part here. If you're sued in a court and your shirt is taken from you, give your coat too. Hopefully most of us haven't been sued in court, because that's not a fun thing to go through. But the heart behind this passage is still applicable whether or not we have, right? But let's first understand what it's talking about. In the Mosaic law, the coat, or the outer cloak, was an inalienable possession to a person, right? That meant that it couldn't be taken from someone even if everything else was taken from them, right? And there's even passages in Exodus 22, 26 Deuteronomy 24:13, that we see even if this cloak or this coat was taken from someone, it needed to be returned before the sun went down that day. Like, this thing was something that was their right to have in the Mosaic Law. You know, they would use this cloak for protection from the weather, the sun. It would give them warmth. It would also be a lot of the times part of their bedding that they would use at night. I think that's a big part of why it was required for Sunday. It was like considered a basic necessary thing that everyone should have, and that's why there was that Mosaic Law to hold that in order. So what does this mean if a believer is sued for their shirt? They must also give their coat. You know, that's their right to that coat, right? The law says that they can have that coat. But Jesus is calling the believers again to act in sacrificial love, to go beyond the bounds of the law, because love goes beyond the bounds of law. This means that we do so with a generous heart. If someone's taking something from us, we're still called to reflect the sacrificial love that our Savior Jesus had for us. So what are our inalienable rights? Life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, right? Here in America, that's our things. I tried to look into, well, what's that mean, you know, if we were to get sued for everything, right? I tried to narrow down a list. I'm going to share that with you. And it really depends on what you're being sued for and what the situation is by the court. So some of these aren't applicable and some of them they are. But some of the things that we could consider inalienable for us today would be our housing, sometimes jewelry, tools that we use for work, sometimes certain retirement funds, depends on the case and the kind of fund you have. Various government assistance would be considered things that a lot of the times in different cases with the court system, we could be protected to still have, right? So what should we do if someone sues us for all of our money or all of our belongings? If we lost everything, would we treat the aggressor with hatred, or would we go beyond and treat with them with love? You know, throw in our house too, chip in a little bit of the retirement fund. Would we be able to go through the situation without grumbling or complaining? Will we be able to not hold resentment against them? If you really let that sit in your mind, it's easy to be able to say, yes, you know, that's what we'd do. But man, that'd be hard to do, right? Especially if you have a family and you're thinking about that. Would we be able to gladly part with what we're usually considered to be an inalienable right that we have, right? Now, I don't think at this point Jesus is necessarily saying that, you know, we're required to give away our retirement fund. However, we need to have a heart of sacrificial love in the midst of everything. In the midst of the greatest darkness and pain, in the midst of our greatest sorrow and loss, our heart and attitude should be based on the greatest moment of our existence in the midst of the worst moment of our existence. So I'm going to say that again. Our heart and attitude should be based on the greatest moment of our existence, our salvation, in the midst of our worst moment of existence. It's easy to say, but it's not easy to do. As we look at Jesus' life, he didn't look forward to taking on the sins of all mankind on the cross. He was up all night, the night before, praying to God, going back to his support system, the disciples, realizing they were sleeping. But as he was praying to God, he said, "My Father, if it is possible to let this cup of suffering be taken away from me, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Right? He didn't want to go through that pain. He didn't deserve that pain. Right? He lived a pure life, a holy life without fault. All to just take on our sins, right? But he knew it was the will of the Father. You know, in Romans, it talks about how before we're a believer, we're a slave to sin. But once we come to Christ, we choose to be a servant to the Lord, right? So then we start putting Him first, even in our worst times. So this might not mean that we necessarily need or required to give up our retirement if the court decides we owe everything. But we need to operate out of God's will and follow how He is calling us to go beyond in that situation. If we're praying to God and He is calling us to take that step, we need to be willing to take it. Just like Jesus did when He didn't want to take that step, He chose God's will over His, right? Verse 41 here. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for 1 mile, carry it 2. So there was a common Roman practice at the time where a Roman soldier could force a civilian to carry their military gear for 1 mile. Well, that's kind of how we translate it today. 1 mile. However, 1 mile was the limit. They couldn't ask someone to take it further than that. Otherwise, they would be going against the law. So, you know, this, again, they have a legal standing where they can say, you know, they're at the mile marker, boom. There you go. But Jesus is calling them to go beyond the law, right? Go beyond the requirement. Go the extra mile. Sacrifice yourself, your energy, your time to make a difference, to love the person that you're there with. So what's something that we're required to do? Pay taxes. So we should pay double. Again, I think that it's important to realize that, you know, there's a personal connection in a lot of these things that he's talking about here. He wants us to show the love of God to someone else. So I don't think that it's necessarily meaning, you know, each year we need to pay double taxes on everything. But he's highlighting areas that we can go beyond by loving the person that we're in these interactions with, that is on the opposing side of us. Jesus is addressing our hearts. And that's really what he's getting at. He's saying, this is what the law, you know the law that was said, eye for an eye. He's saying, yes, that's the written law, but let's look at the heart behind the law. So when your employer asks you to do something, what do? Preach on a Sunday morning? Right? Glenn's gone, you know. You do it. You go beyond. You go the extra mile with it. You give it your best. You do it without grumbling. Because that's what the will of God is. That's where we make the difference in the world around us. Our life for God shouldn't just be said through our words, but through our actions. Through our attitude while we do it as well. Verse 42 here. Give to those who ask, and don't turn away from those who want to borrow. So, what do we do if someone asks us for money? You know, I'll be the first one. Anyone want to come up? No, just kidding. Hold my shot there for you guys. This is an interesting verse. Many of us can think of a time where someone was in need, and maybe they were holding a sign. Maybe they verbally asked us for money. And this is a tough situation, right? I've heard many different angles, and a lot of these thoughts even cross my mind as well when people ask, especially people that we don't know, right? You know, what if they use it for something that may harm themselves or other people, right? How do I know if they actually need it? What if they're using it to harm someone else, right? These are the things that come through our mind. Well, it wasn't too long ago that I was listening to a podcast, and I heard someone that was challenged by this. They had recently passed up someone that asked for help as they were sitting down and eating dinner with someone. They came up to them and asked for some money, and they turned them away. But later, they came across this passage in Matthew. In their own study time, Matthew 25, 40 through 45. We're just going to look at 42 and 43 this morning. For I was hungry, and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked, and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me. And he was challenged by that scripture, because after that he says, you know, they were like, well, where were you? You know, I would have served you. And he said, you treat me how you treat the least of these, is what the point of that section there is. And he was challenged by that. And on the podcast, this man was tearing up as he shared this, because he said from that day forward, he was going to give something to people who asked in the future. He concluded that God didn't command him to decide who to give based on how they would use it, but rather that God told him to treat the least of these as if it were him. Isn't that powerful? Like, what if we took that literally? And as we saw those people that are out there, whether or not we know their exact stance of what's going on, what if we pictured them as Jesus? Right? We would go out of our way for them. Now, I'm not saying that you need to come to the same conclusion that he did this morning necessarily, but I think that it's the heart behind it, right? I know that things are expensive. I heard this other story, and this one, maybe this was made up, I don't know, but I heard it. A guy was standing on the side of the street with a sign asking for food. Someone saw them. They invited them into the restaurant. They both talked to the cashier. They ordered their food. And when it came time to pay, the person that invited them in, you know, they pulled their card up, they scanned it, and it was declined. And the person that was standing on the street corner that was with him, he said, "Don't worry, you can come out and stand with me." Right? But what's kind of impactful about that story, whether or not it was true or not, is that they were still willing, no matter if they knew they had enough in their account or not. Right? Today's world, we can check our account so easily, most of us, I feel, on your phone. You know, they probably had an idea of whether or not they could have afforded it, and hopefully they were hoping that they could have. But even in that situation, how often do we grow in our connection with other people when we face hardships together? When you're going camping with a group and there's a huge storm. You know, we went to Creation so many times with a youth group, different, you know, even when I was growing up, but sometimes I've led some groups as well. And it's the moments, you know, you don't necessarily look back and, oh yeah, remember when, you know, Lecrae sang that one verse that we've heard like 5 million times already? You know, those moments are cool, but the moments that we look back on are, do you remember when we had that huge storm and the canopies were flying everywhere and we were like getting in the van because we didn't want to get hit by a canopy flying through the sky? Those are the moments that we look at, right? We look at the moments that we were there together, even if things, most of the time, when things didn't go the way that we planned them. So as I think about that example there, even though he didn't have the money in that time, there's a connection growing there. There's probably conversation happening there, right? Now, while that's more of a funny story, there's something there. Maybe you don't have the extra money to give right now. Maybe you're hardly getting by, but you still have something that you can give. Maybe that's just your time. Maybe that's your interest in them as a human being. Maybe that's your conversation, right? Sometimes you see the signs that say anything will help. Get to know them, right? What's their name? What's their story? What do they know about God? Do they know God, right? My challenge to you guys is, regardless, you know, if you have the time in that moment when you see someone, make it your challenge to not walk away without knowing a little bit about them, right? Because the story of Scripture is that we're all eternal beings, right? We all have an eternity after, we all have a life after we have it here on this earth in these earthly bodies. So it does matter, right? It matters what we do. You know, it matters if people know about God or not. In John 4:14, it's written this. But those who drink water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. We know as believers that Jesus gives us. He's the only way that we can have eternal life. We have this ultimate eternal water source that we know about. And maybe the person on the side of the street knows. But we need to have that conversation first, right? We need to see where they're at. Because we don't want to see someone that doesn't even know. You know, if we have that opportunity, we should take it. Well, if you're here this morning and you haven't experienced the saving grace offered freely by Jesus, I encourage you guys to come up after the service, talk to me, because it's an opportunity that you don't want to miss. Scripture often talks about life before Christ and life after. And today we're really talking about life after Christ, right? That's why we're going beyond the law. We're talking about how we should live as believers. And if you haven't experienced that yet, I want you guys to have the opportunity to at least learn more about that. We're called to go beyond because love goes beyond. In Luke 6:27-36, it's kind of like a parallel passage to where we're at here today in Matthew. I'll let you guys look into that more this week. But it kind of also seems to mix in a little bit of what we have going on right after this in Matthew 5:38-42, right? It seems to kind of combine a little bit of those together. And in Matthew 5:43-48, that section after what we're in today, it talks about, you've heard the law, love your neighbor. And when Jesus says this, he says, you've heard the law, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, right? But when you look back at what Jesus is quoting in the Old Testament, it doesn't mention that part about the enemy. Again, this is a time where they've kind of twisted the law and kind of turned it into what they wanted, right? But I'm sure that Jesus is saying, you've heard it kind of said this way, right? Love your neighbor and hate your enemy, right? The actual thing just says love your enemy. No, love your neighbor, sorry. And they were adding that part in. But that's what it's about, right? Go beyond. Let love drive you, not the pain, sorrow, hardship, the insult, the inconvenience that it may be in the moment, right? Even if it's your worst enemy, we're called to love them. Whether they hate us themselves, whether they hurt us, whether they ask from us, take from us, whether they curse us, we're called to bless them and pray for them and love them. Jesus is talking to our hearts in this passage. We're not called to walk the line of right and wrong, right? So, like, let's say this stage line here is the line of right and wrong. Let's say that the back door is, well, past this line, that way is wrong, right? Let's say that way is right, the will of God, right, is this direction. So often we find ourselves walking, well, you know, that's not that bad. You know, that doesn't cross the line, right? You know, it doesn't, it may be questionable, but it doesn't cross the line of what was written, right? So many times we find ourselves walking on this line, right? But that's not what we're called to do. We're called to run towards God's will. We should be going back here, right? We should be running back here and not worrying about where the line's at, right? But so often we're focused on the line. We're looking at the line, you know, I didn't really cross the line on that one, right? That's not what we're called. We're called to be running in the direction of God's will. So this morning, I encourage you guys to go beyond. Don't limit your kindness, your love for others based on what the law says. You know, if the law says, you know, you got to pay up this much for, you know, for hurting someone, you know, go beyond. Show them love. Jesus tells his disciples that the world is going to know them, that they follow him by the way that they love one another, right? So let's make him known. We've talked a lot about storing up our treasures in heaven as we looked at the other parts of the Sermon on the Mount. We were just in the Lord's Prayer there. And this is part of it. You know, we can't take anything that we build up, money, our retirement fund, you know, our inalienable rights that we mentioned earlier, our house and all that, that doesn't come with us to heaven. But each person that we interact with, like I said, they're an eternal being. If there's something that we can take with us, I say we can take with us, you know, it's outside of our hands, but it's the people. It's other believers that we're going to see, right, in that eternal destination. Awesome. Let's pray this morning together. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning. God, we're just thankful and grateful for your Son, that he came, that he gave the example of how we should live, how we should go beyond in love, God. God, we can't get anywhere near what he did, but God, I pray that that's our goal, to reach towards what he's doing, what he did. Would we seek after you in everything that we do, with the way that we love others and interact with others, even in the midst of our hardest moments, would that show that we follow you, and would that show your love that first came into us? We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we sing this last song, I invite you to stand with us.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We
I will build my life upon your love. And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes. And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you.
Isn't that so powerful? I'll put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. This Wednesday night after youth group, I stopped at Dollar Tree to get a few items, and I had my community shirt on, and I don't know why, if that led to what took place, but I was standing there at the register, and there was a guy in front of me, except he didn't have his stuff there at the moment. I guess they had put it maybe back in the freezer section for the time being, but one of the employees went back to grab his stuff, and he looked at me and he said, "You know, I've been thinking about something recently." And I was like, "What's that? You know, it's like 8:30 or whatever, Dollar Tree." And he's like, "You know, I don't think that Jesus would have stolen bread." And I didn't really know what to say. But as I think about that last part in the song, "I'll put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken," I'm just challenged this morning. How can we be prepared for those moments? You know, can we set aside in our mind, you know, if we find someone in need, if we see someone that, you know, seems like they're seeking for something, what can I give them? Maybe it's, I'm going to at least give them 5 minutes of conversation. Because as I look back, I'm like, I didn't really say much. I was like, "Yeah, I don't think he would. Right? I don't think he'd steal bread." But maybe he was looking for something. And I kind of feel like I missed it because I wasn't prepared. I didn't have in my mind, you know, when something like that happens, I'm going to give at least 5 minutes. Maybe it's 10 minutes. Right? He wasn't asking me for something with his words, but it felt like he was seeking for something. So I encourage you guys, set that in your mind. Ask God, you know, when situations come up, What do you want me to do? Be prepared beforehand so you're not shaken in the moment. You don't miss the opportunity, right? Thank you guys for coming out this morning. Let me say a quick prayer before we go. God, I just pray that each one of us would take your call. Will we follow Jesus' examples? Will we follow what he's unpacking here in Scripture? Will we go beyond the requirements of the law? And will we love other people? God, you first loved us. Your love came in us so that we could give it to other people. Will we be a reflection? Will we not just soak in your light, but will we reflect it back out to the people around us? God, lead and guide us. Give us wisdom, discernment, and what we do. Give us protection as we go out as well. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys have a great day.